This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
This episode is being brought to you by Unbound. Founded by lay Catholics and grounded in Catholic social teaching, Unbound helps you put your faith into action by walking with an individual in poverty through sponsorship. Start walking with your new friend by sponsoring today at unbound.org/places. That's unbound.org/places. So I had a student do a memento mori essay for my class, a remembrance of death, as a, what did you learn in my class? Did it actually change your life? And I tell my students, I don't care next year if you remember the categorical imperative from Immanuel Kant or the three-part soul from Plato's Republic. As long as these things actually changed how you see yourself and others and made you a better person in very concrete ways. So memento mori is one way to make sure at the very end, did you actually get it? And a student said she went to a cemetery in Lafayette, Indiana. She had a relative buried there. And then she first saw the grave where the lead singer from Blind Melon is buried. And I thought, I had no idea he's from...
All I can say is my life is pretty plain.
I didn't know either. So I Wikipedia'd the guy, and apparently he is from Lafayette. And then I just skimmed the Wikipedia article.
That's like down the road from us, right?
Lafayette's not that far from the rectory basement where we're doing this podcast.
Where we are broadcasting straight from the underground.
Yeah. So underground in the cemetery is the Blind Melon.
He dead.
Yeah.
We alive.
Both underground, though. That's the connection.
Yeah. Well, I skimmed the Wikipedia thing, and apparently he met Axl Rose, who also was from Lafayette, Indiana.
Wait, did they meet in Lafayette?
Axl Rose was his sister's friend. And so, like, there was that just personal connection.
What if they, like, went out to... Where do rockers go? California? They go to the same place that
Planet
actors?
Hollywood? I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, when they're trying to go make it. So, like, did they go out and then, like, meet each other and be like, you're from Lafayette? And then, like, Axl Rose, like, yes, I'm from Lafayette!
So off the air, you were worried about a recent podcast that you came off a little strong.
Yeah. So Axl Rose, Blind Melon, Van Halen. Am I the David Lee Roth of this group?
You are, but I like David Lee Roth.
Oh my gosh, no!
I like David Lee Roth.
Justin.
Don't get the reference.
You don't know Van Halen?
Van Halen.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay,
but
so
what about David Lee Roth?
He's a flamboyant frontman.
And he was obnoxious and loud, and they kicked him out.
I know Van Halen, I just don't
know.
And
then it ruined them because then they got Sammy Hagar. I always want to say Van Hagar because when Joe Dirt says... I like Van Halen, not Van Hagar.
Yeah.
But anyway,
all I remember about post David Lee Roth Van Halen is Clear Pepsi used their song as the theme.
Right now!
I thought, is this rock and roll?
Tomorrow.
I don't know what this is.
Dude, they played that. So, like, they did Clear Pepsi, and then Amoco Ultimate was this clear gasoline. So, like, apparently the whole world didn't turn around and say, like, isn't all gasoline clear? But also, that doesn't make it good for the environment. But they tried it.
Yeah.
They said, we have Amoco Ultimate, which is clear and pure. And then SNL did, and they both used that song, the Right Now song.
Yeah.
And so then, then SNL did it, but they did Clear Gravy.
Oh, I remember
they
that.
Did the Right Now song. And then there's a point
so nasty
where it's like, right now. And Kevin Nealon splashes the gravy on his face like it's water.
This is
I'm obnoxious.
Obnoxious cast.
Obnoxious cast. I'm Alex Geltner.
I'm Justin Aquila.
I'm Lewis Pearson. And the episode topic
what is it?
It's marketing, isn't it?
I don't know. Okay. So.
Well, we were in a Star Wars episode podcast part one for the 38-part series that we planned.
Mm-hmm.
It struck me that one of the things, Justin, you mentioned, the new ones that came out post sale to Disney, Lucasfilm sold to Disney, is they're not rewatchable, right?
Which is what happens when you try to make a movie with a committee from like rich content in 2 years. Because the sale was finalized in what, 2012, 2013, 2015, Force Awakens come out, and everybody, like, and you know that the script that Lucas wrote the treatment was rejected. Like, what do you expect?
And then they made these plans. We're going to come up with this TV series in this year, and this movie in this year, and this interstitching movie, and then the sequel movie. And it became clear they're going to be selling us stuff instead of just telling a story.
It's content creation. Right. It's not storytelling.
And maybe the story will stand. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll have a sequel. Maybe it won't. No, it was very clear. You're going to be buying from us forever. You're going to subscribe.
Yeah.
We've got you because you like Star Wars. We're just going to keep feeding it to you.
And you can come to Disney and do Star Wars rides and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they didn't have Dave Filoni, it'd be dead in the water.
Yeah. I'm excited and disappointed anytime I see Dave Filoni's going to do something on the sequel stuff because he's so good at making anything
work. He's
going to
fix them.
He will fix them. I don't want them fixed. I want everyone to see this, just trash them and go walk away from them.
He's not going to fix the movies. The movies will still be garbage.
He's been announced as one of the directors for one of the sequel.
He is now Kathleen What's-Her-Face.
Kennedy. Yeah.
Has basically admitted, first of all, there's an article you can find where she basically admitted, yeah, that whole thing we did was a mistake. But then she also has basically intimated that nothing is happening without Filoni's say right now. So it sounds like they've got their house in order now.
Yeah.
And he's already doing things in The Mandalorian and in the Resistance show and with what he's doing with Thrawn and Ahsoka that seem to indicate that he's gonna fix it.
Yeah.
He's gonna fix the damn thing. He's not gonna fix the movies, but he's already showing how the First Order rises.
Yeah. Like, if you showed up for the Catholic content and you don't know what we're talking about, sorry. I'll say, well, two things.
Well,
about,
first of all, Star Wars is Catholic content by God.
Yeah.
And secondly, Star Wars is Catholic content.
Well, I'll say, so one of the things you mentioned last time is the thing that Filoni actually, there's a video of him talking to the people who are directors and writers for a lot of the Mandalorian episodes.
Yeah, the round table. Yeah.
Where he's telling them Star Wars is about family. And
I stole that from him.
Yeah, he gets that. And one of the times I first realized he got these things is when he was doing the computer-generated animated Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And it was coming to a close. Good. And Kanan Jarrus, the last Jedi in the universe that we knew of at the time, there's a sacrifice. Spoiler, sorry, I didn't alert you. But at the end of the...
If you haven't watched everything in Star Wars, it's your fault. Let it be spoiled.
I edited our MP3 read-along storybooks when Darth Vader says, "No, I'm your father." I stopped it where it says, "Join me." I stopped it. And the kids didn't know he was the father. So,
you got to actually reveal it to them?
The older ones, they saw it for the first time in the movie. So it's hard because a lot of movies that have that reveal.
Do you know... I'm so weird. I never knew.
Yeah.
Or I always knew, I rather. Yeah, like, I never got to experience finding out.
Yeah.
It's like, I never remember.
So you can ask some of my older kids, what was it like when they found out?
Well, I watch YouTube videos of people watching it for the first time who don't know.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
No, like, I'm really weird. The videos are awesome, though. Like, people really, it's cool. I mean, it's the greatest twist in history.
Yeah.
Except for Jesus raising from the dead. It's the greatest twist in history. Okay, I'll stop.
It's classic Greek tragedy. Oedipus runs away from the prophecy only to find his actual father and mother, and all the tragedy follows because of the twist. Lucas is tapping into that Greek, the points of catharsis, the inflection points that lead to these problems.
Is this another episode on Star Wars?
Well, I don't know.
We're 9 minutes in and we haven't gotten to marketing.
We're 9 minutes in.
Well, Disney.
Yeah, I was going to say about Filoni, because this was going to lead me to the Catholic content, I thought. When he was talking about the end of Rebels, and this is a spoiler, Kanan Jarrus dies at the end, sacrificing himself to save everyone else. Mm-hmm. And Filoni was responding to people who were commenting online, well, of course he had to die because there can't be any other Jedi. And Filoni said, no, he had to die because this is who he is and these are the choices he makes. Yeah. It became very clear he understands how story works and how characters work. This isn't about what I'm going to give you because I've got to retcon the thing based on what we've said before.
Right. Just like I hate when people say Rogue One is about fixing a plot hole. First of all, the Death Star having a weakness is not a plot hole.
Right.
It's called reality.
Preach, brother.
and to say like, yeah, there's a tube that's like 2 meters wide that could possibly create a chain reaction that destroys the ship. Like, who would even... So it wasn't fixing a plot hole. But secondly, Rogue One was telling a story that was tied into this, you know?
And so the latest things from Disney Lucasfilm, they're always giving us new stuff. It's the marketing mentality of, I have to keep you hooked. And it doesn't matter if you don't even remember what the season last year covered. And many people don't. They just remember, I had to watch the next one because of the cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. And the cliffhanger was this very artificially contrived thing that wasn't based on the characters or the plot or anything that mattered, which is why we don't remember these things. It reminds me, well, the difference between things that are not watchable and things that are eminently rewatchable of The Mass. Mm. The way we approach, and sometimes I think about this when I have students complaining about how they were raised and how boring it was and how exciting it is to go to these new Protestant praise and worship things, and this is cool, and that sermon was really great.
If you don't know what's going on.
If you don't know what's going on, and it's easy not to. It's easy for people to think that the prequels are worthless. It's easy for almost anyone to think that adoration doesn't matter. I mean, I remember having a friend who said, I'm not into adoration. I need more stimulation. I was like, that's the whole point. He is hidden. That's the whole point. Couldn't you stay awake for an hour? The whole point is it is not stimulating your senses.
I think this contemplating our Lord Jesus veiled in the flesh right here is fine, but could you put some more pizzazz into it? You know, just kind of like...
Where's the lightsaber duel?
Right. Yeah, right? Like... Doesn't he die at the end of the Gospels? Like, who's into that story?
Spoiler alert.
He's the dead. The only movie that was better than the book, Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ.
This episode is being brought to you by Unbound. Our family loves Unbound. So far, we've sponsored two children through this organization, one in Mexico and another in the Philippines. We've been able to exchange letters, drawings, and photographs, and it has been a blessing to see the good our sponsorship does for these children and their families, as well as a great witness to my own family of the fruits of putting one's faith into action through sponsorship. You're invited to put your Catholic faith into action by walking with a child, youth, or elder through sponsorship. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/places. Wow, that's meta. I like that.
I do not really believe that, listener. Dear listener, I do not really believe that. Although, The Passion of the Christ, I wouldn't say it's a good movie. It's weird to say that. It's like saying the gospel is a good book. But I was a real page turner. But I will say that scene in the tomb when Jim Caviezel playing the resurrect, because you know you see that resurrected scene at the end. It's so amazing.
Yeah. But I think about the ABC years for the lectionary, where it's the same stories every year, and especially when you get to Passion Week, and you hear it a lot.
I actually wish we did have a little bit more in the lectionary throughout the years.
Sure.
Of things we don't get, but I do not mind any of the repetition of the things we do get. Mm-hmm. Like who's just like, you know, like, yeah, I mean, The passion's good, but haven't we heard it enough?
Well, I wonder about people who take for granted things like, oh, yeah, no, I'm your father. Like, everyone knows Darth Vader. Everyone knows Jesus raised from the dead. Yeah, just I wonder how much the ever ancient, ever new, startling, absurd craziness of what God does in the incarnation is lost on people who just the familiarity breeds contempt whole.
That's what I try to do, like, with my students is I want to write a book someday called Making Christianity Strange, where it's like you need to be like reasserted into the craziness of this. I don't know what this episode's about. I think we lost it a while ago. But like you need to understand, like, first of all, you think it's obvious that God would care about you and be interested in your life and that he would just listen to you if you prayed to him. Do you know that that was a cataclysmic like revolution in religious thought when like Jews and Christians started saying things like that? Nobody thought that. Nobody thought Zeus is looking out for me and he cares about, like, maybe the emperor thought that, but
it's
nobody,
not,
nobody
not I, the, but Zeus and me.
Right. Yeah. Nobody thought this way. This notion that you have that God's just your best friend, that's because Christianity revealed that God cared about every single human and gave them this unique dignity called the image of God. Like that, this is 2,000 years of R&D called the Bible that you're going off of that you think is just obvious. And so like you have to like reinsert them into the strangeness of it. Like this is a guy who said, like, dude, I'm totally the king of everything and I'm gonna die on a cross. And so like what I like to show them often is there's this great piece of graffiti from the early 3rd century, so like the early 200s AD. It was at Ephesus, I think. And it shows a man being crucified with the head of a donkey.
Oh, yeah, right? I remember.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And in Greek, there's a guy, and he's obviously adoring. He's adoring this crucified man with the head of an ass. And it says, Alexamenos worships his god. People were making fun of Christianity and Christians. Why? Because how stupid could you be to worship a man who was killed in not just the most horrific and painful, but humiliating way that you could possibly imagine? Are you a moron?
A criminal that everyone disowned.
Yeah. A guy who you say is a king?
Rome didn't care. The Jews didn't want. Everyone disowned him.
Yeah. Like, you must be joking, yeah. Right? And, like, you lose that. And this is why it's like, okay, prequels and original trilogy, right? What did Jar Jar Abrams do wrong? Well, he tried to retell the same dang story.
Yeah.
Which he did
in Star Trek, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, you know, except he tried to turn Jim Kirk into a new Luke Skywalker by making him from a farm and middle of nowhere. Yeah. And he's this, you know, kooky kid and he's going to get caught in the middle of the action and accept his destiny. You've got that, or you've got, you know, Rian Johnson. I got to come up with a good one for Rian Johnson to call him to make fun of him. I actually like Rian Johnson. Unlike J.J. Abrams, I don't think Rian Johnson's a hack. I just think he needs to stay in his lane, which is not Star Wars. But he tries to undo everything. Whereas, you know, here's the problem with sequels at all. You've got to have familiarity and you have to have newness. Mm-hmm. And you've got to keep those perfectly intentioned. Because if you have a sequel and people don't recognize the story that they saw to begin with, then they're not going to like it. But if it's utterly unlike everything that they loved about the first, they're not going to like it. Mm-hmm. What's a perfect example of keeping all that together while still giving us a new story? It's the prequels.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say
perfect example of that.
It's a suffering servant who's the Messiah.
I thought you were going to say the Old Testament to the
That one too.
You threw me for a loop.
I was getting there.
Okay. It's okay.
I don't think Star Wars is the gospel.
Okay, thank you.
It's our Lord and Savior, Luke Skywalker.
It's a propedeutic to the gospel.
Hey, man.
You're going to put that
Christ
in the show notes.
Christ in 10,000 places. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even know what the word propedeutic means. I just...
You don't even know how to pronounce
it? Yeah.
Propedeutic.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Every person who's going to be a priest, and then... Anyway, that's an inside baseball reference, is going to know what a propedeutic year is.
Oh, man. You went really inside baseball. Well,
I don't know where to go from there.
Should we call it? Go to Mass, folks. It's new and old. It's the same story.
I think our good evangelists today and our priests, mm-hmm. Well, that's the difference between someone like a Filoni who sees what it is that makes the thing rewatchable, right? Why we keep coming back to it, why it continues to generate life.
Because it's a new version of the same story.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Abrams doesn't get because he wants to tell the exact same story again. And what Rian Johnson doesn't get because he wants to subvert story.
Which is this
postmodern garbage. Yep. Whereas, like, what Lucas is doing is, in Star Wars, is he is telling the story that we've told a million times in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that story? That story is about a chosen one who was sent to save us. And we all know where that story came from. It's in a great book called the Bible.
No imprimatur.
I don't think Star Wars is the gospel.
No imprimatur for this show.
In all seriousness, no. I do think that we all know the story.
Mm-hmm.
And what Christianity tells us is the true version of the story, the true myth, the true monomyth. And it also tells us the right version with the right ending.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, the Epic of Gilgamesh can't get the right ending. You know, it understands the problem of the human condition, but it doesn't know what a human really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the Odyssey, the Iliad can't tell you the ending because it understands the problem of the human condition, but doesn't know who God is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that to postmodern deconstructionism. It's like it's obsessed with the problem.
Right, right? And so it becomes a brand new formula right. that's just reactive yep. to the formula, hence yep. postmodern. Right. Your whole experience is just a reaction to another movement.
I wonder how much a Catholic worldview is actually what it is that allows a person to understand why they enjoy certain things and can explain them, kind of like we're doing here. I mean, tongue-in-cheek as well, mm-hmm. right? I know that you don't think Star Wars is gospel. It's your second religion.
It's my second religion.
It's not your primary. Yeah.
It's my second wife.
Nice. That's, yeah. So what I had in mind was a debate I had with friends a while ago. And by a while, I mean like a decade and a half ago.
That's a while.
You know, Superman keeps getting a reboot. But when Superman came out, it was very clear at this time.
Which one?
It was Brandon...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Superman Returns.
Roth.
Yeah.
Routh.
Routh.
Yeah. It's pronounced like yeah. South, and it's Bryan Singer.
And it was just...
Brilliant movie. Don't care what anyone says.
Just overt.
Are you about to say bad?
Overt. This is Christ.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In a superhero
overt.
Movie.
Yep. Well, yeah. Overt. When he pushes the meteor, yep. or not the yeah. meteor, but the continent that Lex Luthor, when he falls back, he does this.
Yeah. I remember having a conversation because I read something on the internet that's not there, right? Things on the internet do disappear, or they at least get washed out by all the stuff that's showing up now. And especially something that's 15 years ago, it's not there. So I can't find this article again, but what the person was arguing, and I found it compelling, it wasn't knockdown, drag out, but it made me think. What the person said was, you can have people who settle for the image, who settle for the type, you know, instead of the fulfillment, the anti-type. We have someone who, in a cosplay world, will think Hogwarts is enough for me. Superman is enough for me. And so back in the day, we used to have atheists who just bit the bullet, and this is the bleak world I live in, and any meaning we have is going to be my courageous effort to try to create something myself. Mm. But now we have people who, they have the Christian story, but they don't have Christ.
Yeah.
And so we have this inversion before, the way C.S. Lewis puts it in Myth Became Fact, we had all these stories.
It wasn't that Tolkien says all myths become true in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Lewis says...
He probably says it, yeah.
Same kind
fair
of
enough,
thing.
Fair enough, yeah, yeah.
It's in a collection called God on the Dock.
In the Dock.
Yeah. Meaning for British people, like God on trial.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
He says, yeah, I'm not surprised that all these different cultures have stories that prefigure the Christian story
right.
because God made us all. I would be surprised if I found a story that wasn't a kind of foreshadowing of what eventually becomes real.
Does this mean the devil is a postmodern deconstructionist?
He'll take advantage of that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's got to be a relativist if he thinks he has any chance of winning against God. But what does he do? Deconstructs the story.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he thinks he can win against God, but I do know he hates us. And so maybe he thinks mm-hmm. he can take us away.
Yeah.
So
I think he must have at some point thought he could win.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me, too.
Maybe not, though. I don't know. We should do an episode on that. The more interesting question is, why did he rebel? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Please.
The gospel and the Star Wars themes have me thinking. I've often wondered, is Christianity sometimes a victim of its own success? Right? The underlying story is so pervasive that people think they know it. And in some way, that's similar with Star Wars, too. It's like once you watch the originals, then the prequels, and so on, like you think you know the riff, and it's like, I'm living in this world anyway. But precisely the newness, especially in the gospel, is that it does have to be reproposed. I mean, that's the mission of the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So in the catechism, she presents her whole self ever new.
Ever new, yeah.
For every generation.
Yeah.
It's like the whole self, but in a new way for every generation, because every generation has its new.
Because my 12-year-old, almost 12-year-old, that's scary to say.
You're so old.
I'm so old. When I showed her all 9 of the Star Wars episodes.
Oh, I thought you meant the Gospels. All 9 of them. You got to throw a few of them Gnostic
the Gospels.
Ones
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Larry
exactly.
Moe and Shemp.
Yeah, yeah.
Proto-Evangelium.
No, Shemp isn't. That's apocryphal.
So in the
it's curly, sorry.
Yeah, it is curly. It's apocryphal, yeah. That's in the pseudepigrapha, I think. But so anyway, in the Book of George...
Yeah. Anyway, my daughter just experiences them all 9 as new.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So the whole story is new to her, and she horrified me by saying 9 was her favorite. Right. Like, I was like,
you need to do something about it.
I know. It's a failure in my parenting.
See, this is the fear is that people growing up with these Star Wars are going to think they're good.
Yeah.
And they're garbage.
I could defend 9, but I don't know if I should do that here.
I could accept a defense of 9 as a attempt to fix the entire cluster of 7 and 8.
Yeah.
It was a Timothy Zahn knockoff. That's what it was.
Mm. Well, of course it was. Yeah. They should have done Timothy Zahn to begin with.
Yeah.
Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising was such a good trilogy.
Yeah.
And they should have just done it.
Go to the library, buy these books, read them.
Heir to the Empire is the first one. Yeah. And it's the where Thrawn originally came from, and everybody knows about Thrawn now, but I read those books in the thousands. They came out in the '90s, I think.
So if you see episode 9, you'll see where the books influenced it all.
We did it again. I did it. Lewis just shot me a look like, I did not do it. You did it. You did it, Alex.
No, it's a guilty look. I'm the one that brought up episode 9 being defended. So anyway.
I'm just realizing too, like I like Star Wars a lot. I do not know the canon the way you guys do. Mm-hmm.
That's because you're not sick. I'm sick. Justin, you understand, I have a disease. I have a dis-ease.
It is your second religion.
Right, which is it's so bad for you. But man, it really feels, it's kind of like cake. It feels really good when I'm eating it. Do we need to start over?
It's not your primary cake, though. It's your secondary cake.
It's just my second cake.
It's not my first cake.
Like a hobbit.
You shouldn't be talking about your second cake in front of your first cake.
That's right. Yeah, so it's fine because I never eat them together.
This is getting kind of weird, guys. I'm going to go off on fondant. Fondant is nice to look at, but who eats fondant?
What's fondant?
Yeah, what's fondant?
Fondant is something that cake makers created, I think mainly because wedding cakes, like they sit there for a long time and you can do these sculptures with them. But they don't taste good. It's kind of like wax.
I'm not understanding
it. So you don't eat the fondant?
No, you do.
Oh, you do.
It looks like vinyl. I don't know how to put it. Anyway, cake makers who wanted to get more fancy with their creations, fondant is the go-to because it's more like Play-Doh and less like buttercream that just sits there on top of a cake.
Yeah. And that reminds me rather of our Lord Jesus Christ and how the gospel is retold. So
let's just call this the random episode.
I think we had one like that last season where we just kind of lost it somewhere and just never tried to bring it back.
We're really trying to go 10,000 places.
We really are. But I want to hear the thing that you were talking about Cecilia, though. Episode 9.
All 9. She liked that the best.
Yeah, because she just saw them as one.
Right.
It was all new to her.
Right.
Whereas we've seen it.
Right.
And so by the time you get to even the first the prequels, right? You have a basis upon which you're a formation, if you will.
A completed story.
Story which you're bringing.
You can contemplate on.
And you have expectations about what is being appended to the original stories in both the prequels and the sequels.
Two things, though. One, people need to understand that the prequels were the original story. The story was originally about the fall of a guy named Anakin, and I think it was originally Starkiller.
Yeah. Mm.
And then he moved to his son, Luke Starkiller, and then Starkiller becomes Skywalker, and then Starkiller, so there's Biggs Darklighter, and I think he keeps Starkiller in one of the, anyway, whatever. So, but you can listen to interviews from the 80s where he's talking about how Anakin fell and stuff like that. Like, he knew that whole story. It was always the original story. And by the way, guys, it's his dang story. It's his. It's not yours. The other thing I'll say is I shouldn't have done what I just did and took us all into that weird direction again. Because I don't see how that was a response to anything you just said. Should we call it?
Let's call it.
I think this has been 30 minutes of randomness.
I think that, so when we started, it was going to be an episode on
marketing.
Marketing.
The whole thing went fatally wrong when Star Wars was used as an example. There were several attempts to save it.
I am David Lee Roth. Oh my gosh.
I just looked up a
picture. I'm afraid of this going out.
I still like David Lee Roth.
If my students got a hold of this, what would they think of me?
They might like you more.
They might think, yeah, this sounds like every other episode.
Okay. All right, all right. Dear listener, if you are still with us, then my goodness, God bless you. Your heart.
Yeah, you're a devotee.
Yeah. 10,000 pages. Yeah, which is, so like all two of you out there, thank you for listening. I'm sure we'll atone for this at some point. And we just really appreciate you listening.
Who was that person who sent the topic of our episode? That was an email, wasn't it?
The Star Wars one?
Yeah.
No, the Matrix one ended up being a...
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to blame this on somebody else.
Yeah.
Yep. So whoever said that we should start with marketing and then go to Star Wars, try to turn it into something about the mass, become the gospel, and then go back to Star Wars. Yeah, we're not taking your advice again. I'm Alex Giltner.
Don't email us anymore.
Oh, yeah. I tried to end us. Not kill us. Just end the podcast.
Yeah.
Can we stop? Is it too late? Are we in purgatory?
That's the podcast.
Are we in purgatory?
That's the podcast title. You can email us at 10,000placespodcast@gmail.com.
All spelled out.
All spelled out. And I'm Justin Aquila.
I'm Alex Gilder.
I'm Lewis Pearson.
And this has been the 10,000 Places Podcast.
Woo!
Roughly.
We did it.
This episode was brought to you by Unbound. Founded by lay Catholics and grounded in Catholic social teaching, Unbound helps you put your faith into action by walking with an individual in poverty through sponsorship. Start walking with your new friend by sponsoring today at unbound.org/places. That's unbound.org/places.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.